of the saints. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. We praise your mighty name once again. We pray, oh Father God, that you will forgive us of our sins and let the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise this morning. Amen. 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 Before we come together as a body and just have a good time at the cookout, we just want to be fed by the word of God this morning. Will you stand to your feet and secure your Bibles or look on the screen behind me as I read from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. And Janet, I'm going to start at verse 25 and read through the end of to verse 37. Luke 10, starting at verse 25, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. And it reads as follows. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring his on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. The one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. You may be seated. I want to talk this morning just for a little while from the subject, radical hospitality. Radical hospitality. In Elmer Bendery's book, The Fall of Fortresses, he describes one bombing run over Germany during World War II over the city of Kassel. He records that their B-17 was barraged by a Nazi anti-aircraft artillery guns. That was not unusual, he records or recalls, but what was unusual that one bullet pierced their gas tank. They later reflected on the miracle of a 20 millimeter shell piercing the fuel tank without setting off an explosion. Our pilot, Von Vox, talked to me quite a while about what had happened. They were so astonished that they were not blown out of the air by this 22 millimeter bullet going into their gas tank. They began to talk to the crewman and they began to investigate what happened. And when they began to investigate this miracle, they found out that it was not one bullet that went into the gas tank, but it was 11 shells found in the gas tank. They said that this was like the parting of the sea. 35 years ago, this happened, and they were all shaken, but this one ranking officer began to investigate more. His name was Bond, and he was told that the armor or the shells in the tank, they never diffuse, and he went looking and looking for intelligence about what happened, and eventually he sought out an answer, and apparently the armors opened each shell and they found no explosive charge. All of them but one. One contained a rolled up piece of paper. It was scrawled in Czech. The intelligence people scoured the base to find a man who could read Czech, and eventually they found one person who could decipher the note, and they marveled at what it said. It simply said, "This is all we can do for now." This is all we can do for now. The Czechs had been assigned to load the explosives in the shells, but they were on the side of the Americans, and they couldn't do much to help the Americans. So they packed the shells, or they did not pack the shells with explosives, and they put one note in one of the bullets that unraveled the mystery, and it said, "This is all we can do for now." Understand the story that if one of those bullets would have been packed with explosive, they would have been blown out of the sky. Without knowing the significance of their act to help the American soldiers, they saved their lives. What am I talking about this morning? Wherever you are in your journey, whatever station in life you might have, maybe you think you cannot help. Maybe you don't think you have the right resources. Maybe you don't think you are the right race. Maybe you don't think you have the right pedigree. But just listen to this story and do what you can do. Because you never know the little thing, the thing that you think is so small, how it may be the very thing that might save someone's life. Maybe you're passing someone every day like I am with a sign up saying, I can't find a job, and can you help me out with food? Maybe you think that your dollar won't make a difference, but do what you can do for now. Maybe you are passing folks whose head are bent over because they've been beat down for life, and maybe you don't think a hug would make a difference, or an encouraging word would make a difference, but do what you can do for now. The story this morning Jesus tells is a story whose occasion is brought about by an expert in the law. He is perhaps a scribe. In verse 25, it says that an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, a teacher. And perhaps he wasn't interested in really the answer to the Jesus. He was interested in a debate to see if he could be a better teacher than Jesus, to show him up. And so in 25, he asked the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, in his astuteness and divine wisdom, says in 26, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" And this scribe, this expert in the law, says, we are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But the scribe wanted to continue to test him. And so in verse 29, he says he wanted to justify himself. He knew that he was falling short of that commandment. He knew that he could not love God perfectly. He knew he could not love his neighbor perfectly. So he wanted to narrow the scope, narrow the boundary of who actually is or was his neighbor. He wanted to narrow the scope as a scribe to only the Jewish nation. Is that my neighbor? And some of the scribes wanted to narrow the boundary even further to only loving the scribe. Is that my neighbor? He wanted to love it, narrow the scope geographically, those who are closest to me. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying, and Jesus put this story on a dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And to understand how Jesus wanted to place us in the story, because we have become accustomed to a very comfortable way of following Jesus. But Jesus wanted to place this story on a dangerous road that stretched from Jerusalem to Jericho, about 17 miles. The historians say it's a very desolate road, infested at the time of this story with robbers. It was steep and curving. It was had a steep descent from 26,000 feet, 2,600 feet above sea level to 1,000 feet below sea level at the Mediterranean Sea. And Jesus knew that they would relate to this road. They all understood that it was indeed a dangerous road that you had to be aware of when you traveled. And he says that there was a man, and I want us to underscore that in our Bibles, there was just a man. He didn't intentionally tell the race of the man. He didn't tell what denomination the man was. He didn't tell his pedigree. He didn't tell what his class was. He said he was just a man. He was just a human. That's what I want you to hear. He was just a member of humanity. And this man was traveling on this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among thieves. And they beat him. And they took everything he had and left him for dead. And here he is. Put yourself in the story, because when we look at this story, it's the things that we all struggle with. Here is someone who is in need of our help. And here we are coming from church like the priest. He has just served in the temple. You leave church, you see someone half dead on the road. And you see them in need, just a man, just a woman. You don't know them. Maybe they're not of your race. Maybe they're not of your class. But you're going home. That's what they were doing, because many of the Levites and priests had homes in Jericho. They had just served in the temple. They're on their way home, and they see this man who had been robbed and beaten and left for dead. And the first priest sees him from afar, it appears, and he does what we do today. We cross on the other side. We say, I know he's in trouble, but I really don't want to get involved. It says that he saw him at the place where he was bleeding. Maybe he thought about it like many of us. And then we got fearful. If I stop on this dangerous road, I may end up like him. And they said the Levite did likewise. He crossed over on the other side. I know this is a celebration of our fellowship and our cookout, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I need to ask you, how many times in life God has put you on the path of finding someone in need, and instead of worrying about what happens to them if you don't help them, you begin to worry about yourself and you cross over on the other side. We need to see ourselves in this text. We need to wrestle with what we wrestle with as humans. There have been times in my life that can I be honest this morning? Even though I'm the pastor, there's been times in my life when I could help strangers along life's way, but I just don't want to get involved. I just don't want to be bothered. I just don't want to take what's necessary to help somebody who God has put in my path that simply needs my help. Am I alone here this morning? Jesus tells this story. And he tells this story, thank you. He tells this story to help us see ourselves in the text. And he says that the priests who had just served in the temple, there were two concerns they might have had. One, that they may become victim like the person who was robbed and beaten. And second, that they would be ceremonially unclean for touching a dead person. But that really wasn't an issue because they had already served in the temple and they were on their way home. And before they had to serve again, they would be ceremonially clean again. So the issue really was, I really don't want to risk. I really don't want to get involved. And I really don't know him. Jesus brings home the story by showing how derelict the priest and the Levite was and says, but there was a Samaritan. And I don't know, for years I just thought that this was somebody that the Levite and the priest just didn't want to be bothered with. Because they look different than them, but that's not the case. Most of the scholars believe that the person who had just been beaten and left the dead was a Jew. And so it wasn't that they didn't want to be bothered with somebody that was different. They simply did not want to get involved. They simply did not want to become victim. And so Jesus makes the point by allowing the Samaritan that was an enemy to the Jew. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't like the Jew. And when the Samaritan came by, he did not process life like we process life. He did not stop and help this person because that was someone. The text tells us that the Samaritan came by, even though the Jews were not their friends, and he saw him. I want to say that again. He saw him, not by his pedigree or race or class. He saw him as a human. And the text says that when the Samaritan saw him, my first point is, he had compassion on him. My brothers and sisters, if we're going to live out our faith and we're going to be Christians who change the world, we have to see every human, every man, every woman, every child, not as just some stranger, but as someone who has been created in the image of God. If we're really going to live out our faith, we have to quit processing life through our own selfish lens. And we have to believe what the Bible says, that every man, woman, boy, or girl has been created in the image of God. The Bible said the Samaritan saw this man and he had compassion on him. Maybe he saw this man and not only saw that he was in the image of God, but maybe he saw that this could be my child. Maybe he saw that this could be me. But the first point you need to understand that we are called to have compassion on the world. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, we need more compassion. We need to have more compassion. If ever there was a time when we needed more compassion, how many of you know it's right now? It's right now. Someone, the definition of compassion, or someone wrote an article called Empathy Deficit Disorder. Webster Dictionary defines empathy as the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings and thoughts and experience of someone else. I believe our nation is suffering from empathy deficit disorder. Our nation is suffering from a lack of identifying with others who may be struggling. This Samaritan didn't have that problem. He saw in this man who was left for dead a man made in the image of God. If we're going to live out our calling and we're going to demonstrate radical hospitality. I thought about that. I grew up in the Midwest, and New Englanders, no knock on you all, but I grew up in the Midwest where my mom would open up the table to everybody, even folk most of the family did not know. If you had a friend that didn't have a place to eat, my mom would have you at the table. If we had friends who family was not celebrating, we could invite them to the table. That was hospitality, but radical hospitality is what we see in the text. Many of us understand hospitality, loving those in our family, loving those in our circle, but God is saying we need to broaden our circle of neighbors. And that requires compassion. Not only did this man on this dangerous road exercise compassion, but he also exercised courage. He risks becoming a victim. Dr. King, in looking at this text, said many years ago that the priest and the Levite, like us on many occasions, they asked the question, what will happen to me if I stop? The Samaritan turned that on his head and said, what would happen to the victim if I do not stop? Right, right. If we're going to be Christians, we have to be willing to risk that God might get the glory. This good Samaritan not only exercised compassion, and it wasn't just felt, he didn't just have pity on this man. He stopped and he helped them. That was courage. And he not only exercised courage, he also was willing to count the cost. In other words, he stopped and he binded up his wounds. He poured in oil and wine at his own expense. He put the man on his own donkey and he walked to an inn. It was not just a thoughtless help. He thought through this thing. How can I save his life? As Christians, we shouldn't just give thoughtlessly. We should think about the best way to help people who we find in need. This good Samaritan showed compassion. This good Samaritan showed courage. This good Samaritan was willing to expend the cost, his time, his treasure, and his thoughtfulness. He said to the innkeeper that if you will take care of him, I'll give you 2 days' wages. And just if you expend more than that, I will pay you when I return. He thought it through. And as Christians, if we're going to make a difference in this very tribal world, we need to get outside of our tribe. We need to get outside of our race. We need to get outside of our class. We need to get outside of our communities. And we need to see all of humanity as made in the image of God. I am convicted as anyone else by this text. There are times when I believe God is calling me to be out in this neighborhood more than I am. That there are times that I have rushed by someone with a sign up. There are times when God puts someone in my spirit and I don't pause or I don't check or I don't follow through. But if we're really going to be Christians, then we need to hear what Jesus is saying this morning. And what I want you to hear, that Jesus turns the lawyer's question on his head. He says, who is my neighbor? Jesus really in this story is saying, who are we a neighbor to? It's not who is my neighbor. It's not a geographical thing. Who are you showing mercy to? Who are you being a neighbor to? Who are you helping along life's way? My brothers and sisters, in these very confusing times, we need somebody to hear this story. We need somebody to see who God is placing before them and see their humanity and see that all of us have been made in the image of God. I believe what we really need is to see the light of God. Romans says in Romans 5 that when you become a Christian, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I believe it's there. We just need to sit before God and hear what God is saying. Come on, Moria, I'm almost done. I'm going to close with this story. As we settle down and think about the text, there's a story of a group of deep sea divers, and they were going deep into the ocean, and the deeper they went, the darker it got. But one of them got tired. He was going down and down and darker, and he got tired, so he decided to rest on a ledge, a rock, and when he was still on that rock, all the fish around him lit up. And then when he began to move to examine it, the light in them went out again. When he moved, it went out. When he was still, they lit up. I believe this is the time that we need to sit still and examine our faith and rediscover the light of humanity that is in all of us. I believe we're so busy and we're listening to too much stuff and not listening enough to God. We need to sit still and discover the light that's in all of us. To love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Come on, let's give God some praise. Stand to. As we stand to our feet today, if you're here today, under the sound of my voice,